You're listening to Connect on blogtalkradio.com. Catch us on the web at umconnect.info. Welcome to this episode of Connect. I'm Michael Rich, the Web and Communications Manager for the Western North Carolina Conference. In today's show, we've got Paul Brown. He's the pastor at Central United Methodist Church in Canton. He's a Duke graduate, and he was my pastor for a few years at Canton Central before I went over and took a church in Waynesville. But we're still living in the same county, and I've got him here at Lake Junaluska for an interview today. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. It's good to catch up. So we're going to go right into some questions. We're going to be talking about the third way, the middle way of Methodism. And you've got an interesting story because you grew up Baptist. Your dad's a Baptist pastor. What led you to become a United Methodist?
Sure, yeah. Methodism, like you said, is my adopted home. And so my own particular faith journey started out as a child. I grew up in a Christian family. You know, I remember some of my earliest memories are in church and hearing Bible stories read and learning, you know, the Christian songs and things like that. In high school, I started to have some questions. We attended a small fundamentalist Baptist church, and to my parents' credit, they had a very real and devout faith. They always practiced what they preached, and they loved Jesus, and they loved us, and so their faith was very real to me, but I just had a lot of questions. When I would ask them at church with Sunday school teachers or, you know, other youth leaders, the answer would sometimes just be, well, because I said so type thing, or because right. The Bible says so. And so I started to investigate a little more and visited other churches in town with some friends of mine, and eventually settled on a Presbyterian church that had Saturday services in our town in New Jersey, and just fell in love with the liturgy and the tradition. And after that, I applied to a college, a Presbyterian college in Western Pennsylvania, and kind of thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to be a Presbyterian, and really loved the mixture of the evangelical kind of preaching in the church that I was going to in New Jersey, along with the tradition and the history, and was really kind of studying the theology. So when I got to college, I moved into the dorm there, and across the street from where I was living was a Presbyterian church. And so I walked across the street and started going to church there, and then I found out there are all different kinds of Presbyterians, and these were not like the Presbyterians that I had come to know back home. They were also kind of more fundamentalist, and a lot of the sermons were over and against other Christian groups like Catholics and even dispensationalists or Baptists like my own family. And so I thought to myself, well, this is just another version of the same thing that I'm running away from. And it was at that time that I happened to be in the college library and was looking around in the theology section. And there are all these books on the shelves from John Calvin and Calvinist theology at this Presbyterian school. And then there was this little tiny section on the end of the bookshelf with a couple volumes of John Wesley. And I happened to pick up Albert Outler's collection of Wesley's writings and started reading it. And I didn't know a whole lot about Methodism at the time. I had dated the daughter of the Methodist pastor in one of the churches in my hometown in New Jersey. And so I had some experience with the United Methodist Church, but I didn't really know what they believed. And so when I started reading Wesley, I found that you know, my heart beat with his heart, as he would say, that mm-hmm. that a lot of the things that he wrote was resonating with me. The things where I came from, but also a lot of the things that I was looking for. So it kind of felt like I was coming home.
Okay. So what about Wesleyan theology makes it a middle way? And we're going to get into that more in the second half of the show. But what do you see in Wesleyan theology that makes it different than the extremes on the right or the left?
Sure. Well, after I kind of stumbled on Outler's works on Wesley, I picked up a second book because I was so intrigued by Wesley's thought and his ideas. And it was a book by Paul Chilcote called Recapturing the Wesley's Vision. And the whole book is centered around this idea of John and Charles Wesley's what he calls conjunctive theology. So holding things together that other people want to try to say you have to choose either or. And he calls it a both and theology. And so lots of different things, you know, particularly for me growing up in a more evangelical or fundamentalist background, the head and the heart, you know, that heart religion, that personal relationship with Jesus, but then also, you know, Wesley talked about, you know, it's important to balance the heart with the head and theology and thinking through what we believe, which is what we Methodists do. And we use the quadrilateral. We kind of interpret the Bible with reason and tradition and experience. But then other things, you know, the traditional Protestant emphasis on faith, that we're saved by faith alone. But then Wesley balanced that with talking the importance of works, that faith without works is dead. And many other kind of things like that. I think an important one that I was looking for when I found the Methodist tradition was to balance that personal holiness with a social holiness and social justice, and that it's not just about saving souls, but it's reaching out and meeting people's physical needs as well in the community. And so Wesley did, I think, a really good job of holding those things together in his own time. And I think that continues to be relevant to today.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, we're going to take a little break here, and then we'll come back after the break and talk some more about how this works practically in Canton and in Haywood County. But we'll also talk about the denomination and this need to get the both and going in the midst of this. So let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Jane Boatwright Wood, conference lay leader. And with 30 exceptional folks representing 1,100 local churches and almost 300,000 lay members, I serve on the Board of Laity, where we encourage and equip laity in their understanding and appreciation of their role in the church. The laity are Christ's church in the community and the world. The laity are the primary way new folks get to know Christ in the United Methodist Church. And that's how we fulfill the mission, to make disciples of Jesus Christ and transform the world.
The United Methodist Foundation of Western North Carolina is a ministry of the church for the church, whose mission is to build the church for generations to come. We fulfill this vision by investing in people, as well as helping churches and related institutions invest the financial resources that God has given to them. My name is David Snipes, and we look forward to the day when you give your United Methodist Foundation a call.
And you can find out more about the United Methodist Foundation of Western North Carolina at our show's website, which is umconnect.info. And so we're back with Paul Brown, and we're talking about the Middle Way. And this is something that he and I have talked a lot about, him being my pastor for a few years. And what I know, he has a blog. He doesn't blog very often, but it's called Ecumethodist. And one of the things about that blog, I think, fits in well with how he pastors in Canton. It's a very ecumenical kind of thing going on in Canton, unlike some of the communities I've lived in and worked in. That is a very special place. So how do you live out your Methodist way practically as a pastor, and especially in your setting?
Sure. Yeah. And that's another really big part, I think, of Wesley's both and theology is saying that, you know, there are distinctives and things that make each tradition unique, but that we have more in common than the things that divide us. So on a practical level, he reached out to the Moravian groups, Quaker groups, even wrote his famous letter to a Roman Catholic to say, you know, if your heart beats as my heart, give me your hand and let's work together. And that's what we're doing in Canton. One of the really cool things about living in a smaller community, in a small town, is that you actually get to know your neighbors. And so people are not just a caricature of each other. You know, you say, well, the Baptists believe this or Episcopalians believe this, but instead you have names and faces, and these are your friends and neighbors. And so we have a really unique opportunity in Canton to work together. And when we do work together, we can see the difference that, that we're making, which is greater than we would have on our own with any one single church. Mm-hmm. So the Canton Missional Network, as many, you know, there are many different missional networks across our conference. Our particular missional network, when it first started, Renny Salata was the pastor at Crusoe United Methodist mm-hmm. and Long's United Methodist churches. And he saw the potential that, you know, there were already those relationships there in Canton. Those ecumenical relationships were there. And so it just developed organically as an ecumenical thing. We have Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Wesleyans, and now we have an AME Zion church that's part of our network as well. And we started off feeding children with a weekend backpack program. Mm-hmm. We've expanded to working with homeless families in Canton, providing emergency housing. And our newest thing that we're working together on is reading with children mm-hmm. through the elementary schools and the Reading Buddies program with Congregations for Children. And so every time we do one of these things together, which Jesus tells us to do, to you know, serve the least and the lost and the vulnerable in our community, it draws us closer together as Christians, as brothers and sisters, regardless of the denomination that we might be a part of.
Okay. And I think that this is, you know, clearly, you know, a part of this middle way, and, you know, you're good friends and you work together with St. Andrew's in Canton, which is an Episcopal church. And we're going to have Father Tim on talking about preparing for Lent here soon. The interesting thing about this ecumenical way that I see is that when you work together and you get to know one another, the extremes are, as you mentioned, their names as opposed to caricatures, and I like that. Now, this middle way, which you and a number of young pastors have, you know, made a part of your theology and a part of your service in this conference, and we can name off a few, you know, right off the top of our heads, but you know, one of the things that we're dealing with is a denomination that is very diverse, sometimes split right and left. What would you have to say about your place in the midst of this denomination, and how do you see you working in the midst of a denomination divided?
Hmm. Well, kind of as we've been talking about, one of the things that drew me to United Methodism was that spirit of ecumenism, mm-hmm. that spirit of unity, that Catholic spirit, right. as Wesley calls it. And so it's been really heartbreaking for somebody mm-hmm. who's found a home in that tradition to see it being pulled apart. I feel like many people believe that the United Methodist Church is closer to schism, to splitting, than it's ever been before. And we are the last, you know, large mainline Protestant church in the United States that hasn't experienced a major split. Mm. And so I think that that's the challenge that lies before us, the challenge that our faith provides all the resources to address. You know, the New Testament is full of examples of encouraging brothers and sisters in Christ to work together. And so we have hope for the future. But we've also got a really large challenge as well. And I think that it's very important for our witness that we do find a way to stay together. One of the beautiful things to me as a pastor about church, whether it's the United Methodist Church or any other church, is its ability to bring people together, people who might not otherwise be in relationship. But we come together to worship God and have our shared faith. And so in a society and in a culture like ours that is so divided and so polarized, particularly after the last election, if the church mirrors those divides, then we are no better than the worst parts of our own culture. But we have an opportunity to witness to our faith, as Jesus said, And his high priestly prayer. And John, he says that the world will know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. And he prayed for us to be one as Jesus and the Father are one, so that the world would believe. And so why would the world believe in our message of love and reconciliation if we can't even love and be reconciled with one another in our denomination?
That's pretty powerful. And I would say, let's just quit there. You preach your sermon.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
But
get a preacher going.
usually how I end a show is to give you one more opportunity. What would you like to say to the audience today about being a United Methodist and about, our situation in the world? I think you've already said it, but maybe you want to say it in another way right now.
Sure. I would just encourage folks to continue to work on those relationships that we talked about, to resist the temptation to demonize the other side of folks who disagree with you on one or another issue, and to work to build those relationships with people in your congregation who might disagree with you. And that's easier said than done. It's easy to get on Twitter or on Facebook and with some person, you don't see another person's face, and to just, go off on a diatribe against the other side. It's harder to sit down with someone who disagrees with you and listen. Mm. There's the prayer of St. Francis that says that we should seek to understand more than to be understood. And if anything, in the current climate in the United States right now, there's not a lot of understanding going on. And so the church can model that, I think. If we start with relationships and try to understand one another, perhaps we can love each other and witness to who we are and what we say we believe in.
That'll preach. Well, thanks for being on the show today, Paul. And next week we'll have another one. Somebody who's United Methodist talking about their story and what it means to be an United Methodist. So thanks again.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks to our sponsors, the Western North Carolina Conference and the United Methodist Foundation of Western North Carolina. Find out more about them at our show's website, umconnect.info. You've been listening to Connect.